You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Moke, what is up, my friend? I miss your face. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well. Yeah, I feel like I done grown up, Anita. I feel like a lot of things have changed since I last saw you guys. You know, we moved. You know, I'm out in Long Island now again. You know, I moved out from Queens. You know, we had a baby girl, me and my wife, last Friday. So, you know, it's like a trial by combat with a new baby in the house. You know what I mean? A little Game of Thrones reference for you.
I love it. So folks just listening in, Moke Hamilton, prior to the pandemic, Moke would come into the studio either our Saturday or Sunday. He would stay in for an hour, especially during NBA season. And he's just such a rock star, and he'd crush it. We'd have a fun hour talking all things NBA. Phone lines would light up. So haven't seen you. So last time I saw you, you had just gotten engaged. So now you're married and you've got a bambina.
Yeah, look at that. I'm all grown up now, Anita. I'm over here. I'm home, you know. So I'm in my bathrobe. I got my slippers on. I got a cup of peppermint tea. You know what I mean? I'm ready to talk some hoops, man.
you've done away with the mimosas in the Bloody Marys. Now it's peppermint tea on Sunday mornings. I love it. Well, just know how much, you know, Ty and I, we really do miss you. So it's great to hear your voice, and congratulations, my friend. Very, very deserving. And I'm glad you had a girl. I could totally see you, daddy's little girl. It's all over your face. I could see it.
It's kind of started already, to be honest with you.
I know you. I can only imagine. All right. Well, let's dive into it. And let's start with the Knicks, because Ty and I have stumbled on to a very fun conversation. And that is, would you rather put $100 of your hard-earned money on the Knicks to make it to the postseason? If you do that, you win $220. I'm sorry. If you do that, you win $210. Or would you rather put $100 on the Dallas Mavericks to make it to the postseason? If you do, you win $35, regardless of the odds. Okay. We stumbled upon this conversation in regard to, I feel more confident that the Knicks will make it to the postseason than I do Dallas will. I'm curious where you stand and what are your thoughts on this Knicks team so far this season?
I mean, that's actually a really good, hypothetical. I like that. To be honest with you, at this point, I think I would probably, I don't know, it's tough. I'm inclined to say I would take the Mavericks bet over the Knicks, just because I think out of all teams, the Mavericks still have the best player in Luka Doncic. They've also been without Porzingis for a little while. So you figure if they had him for the balance of the season and moving forward, if they do have him, they'll probably win a few more games. They're 13 and 14 now, ninth place in the Western Conference. That said, they are in the Western Conference, you know, so it's really, really tough out there, and there are no guarantees for any team. The only reason why the Knicks, I'm still a little hesitant with them, is because they're still such a pretty new team that their opponents haven't really gotten a good opportunity to really dig in on their advanced scouting, especially now with Derrick Rose coming in there and with him being entrusted to handle the ball. It kind of makes me wonder what things are going to look like in another 2 weeks when other teams kind of get to zero in on them and their tendencies, you know? But that said, you know, if you're a Knicks fan, I think that you should be very, very happy with what you've seen thus far. And the fact that they're sitting at seventh place in the Eastern Conference, I think is a major, major positive. And I'm expecting them to fight for the playoffs based on what I've seen. So gun to my head, I might take the Mavericks, but I wouldn't be mad at you if you wanted to take the Knicks in that wager.
Again, Moke Hamilton joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You know, another thing that Ty and I were discussing, Moke, and that is, you know, there's a lot of talk and a lot of speculation that the Knicks are going to try to wheel and deal and bring in Bradley Beal. And I didn't mean to make that rhyme. And what would they have to give up in order to get him? And what would this roster and what would this team look like with him here? Would the team take a step back? So I guess it's a two-part question. Number one, do you see the Knicks making a serious attempt to go after Beal, and do you think they'll give up the farm to go get him?
Well, I think what has become obvious to me is that Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau and that entire regime, they didn't really come here to play games. You know what I mean? They didn't really come to New York to sit on their hands for 2 or 3 years and try to get lucky. It would be one thing if the draft lottery were still so stacked in favor of the team with the worst record. But a few years ago, you know, the league kind of changed the way that they did the odds for the draft lottery. And being the worst team doesn't really guarantee you as high of a pick as it once did. I think, Anita, what the Nets have really taught us and what we should all learn from them is that you don't have to tank to build the juggernaut. Players talk to one another, players form alliances, and if you build it, they will come. That is sort of the way that I think we should all be thinking, and I think that's the lens that Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau are kind of approaching their tenure through. So that said, I think that they're going to go after it. I think they're going to try to win some games, and I think they're going to try to get this team back into the playoffs. So a player like Bradley Beal, I think he definitely brings you closer to that goal. Victor Oladipo is another one that we've heard mentioned in some rumors. And if I'm Rose, right now on my roster, I think I would have just a few players that I would not be interested in moving. At the top of the list for me, it would be Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett. Anybody else after that, or some combination of them, I'd be willing to entertain if it's going to give me an all-star caliber talent like a Bradley Beal. So, you know, based on what we saw with the Carmelo Anthony trade, do I want to give up, you know, 4 of my best prospects and 4 draft picks over the next couple of years? No, I wouldn't want to do that. But if I'm able to get value on a deal like trading Dennis Smith and a second round pick for Derrick Rose, it's certainly something that I would consider. So I guess my long answer to that is, if I'm the Knicks and I have a shot at bringing in Bradley Beal and it'll cost me, you know, Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina, Mitchell Robinson, you know, some combination of those players, it's definitely something I would look into and consider.
Interesting that you did not mention Julius Randle in players that would be untouchable. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would put him in the untouchable category. Just because, to be honest with you, I kind of wonder if, I don't know that his value is going to get higher. I think I don't want to say he's playing over his head, but, you know, if you look at what he did the first couple of games in the season and what he's done the last couple of games, you know, his numbers are still pretty good, but they're not like the Giannis LeBron numbers that he was giving us early out, you know? That's one thing that I would take into account. And again, I think the other thing, Anita, is that, you know, if I'm giving up Randle in a trade like that, am I also going to give up Mitchell Robinson and 2 first round picks? Probably not. But the reason why I would not necessarily say that Julius Randle is untouchable in a trade for Bradley Beal overall is because I think Bradley Beal is a better player, number one. But number two, Julius Randle is 26, Bradley Beal is 27. You know what I mean? So it's not even like you're really getting that much older. It's not like you're giving up a promising 19-year-old, 20-year-old, 21-year-old. You know what I mean? You're giving up a 26-year-old player for a 27-year-old player who everybody would agree is better. So if it's going to cost me Randle, I'd probably pull the trigger. But like I said, I just don't know if I'd also be willing to include a Mitchell Robinson, a Frank Ntilikina, a Kevin Knox, multiple first-round draft picks, et cetera. It's just something that I'd have to weigh based on the entirety of the package if I'm Leon Rose.
All right, Moak, before we let you go to get on to your beautiful Valentine's Sunday with your beautiful wife and your beautiful new baby girl, let's talk about the Nets. Really, really unbelievable, right? They go out to the West Coast. KD back last night, 134-117. This team is gelling, and it's been fun to kind of watch the process. Your thoughts on the big three and the Nets, and, you know, also, do you feel it's championship or bust this season for this team?
I would not say it's championship or bust for them. You know, if they win the Eastern Conference and they go to the finals and they lose to the Lakers in 6 games, for example, does that mean their season is a failure? No, of course not. This is these guys' first year together. And neither you being from Miami, you know, the Heat didn't win their first year together, and they still ended up doing pretty good in the grand scheme of things. History is going to remember that team great. If I'm the Nets, you know, I'm ecstatic about what the future holds for these guys. You know, Kevin Durant is a bit longer in the tooth than James Harden and Kyrie Irving, but Kevin Durant is someone who looks like he's going to be able to play at a high level for the next 5 years. So these guys are legitimate championship contenders. I would not be surprised if they end up winning the Eastern Conference. And, I mean, you simply can't say enough about them. As long as they defend and as long as they're able to stop guys on the opposing end of the court, I think any team in the league is going to have a difficult time stopping them 4 out of 7. So right now, you know, you talked about the prop bets with the Knicks and the Mavericks making the playoffs. I thought you were going to say $100 on the Knicks making the playoffs versus $100 on the Nets winning the championship. I think that even that would be an interesting bet because the Nets, they're going to be there punching until the end.
I'm trying to, I want to see here if I have the champion. I don't have it up here. Maybe I could find it on another site. Yeah. Before I let you go, you hit on something, and that is defense when it comes to the Nets. And obviously, that has been their Achilles heel. That has been their downfall so far this season. Obviously, their defense does get better with KD back in action. But is it good? Is it good enough?
Well, that's what we're going to see. You know, that's what we're going to see. In terms of matchups in the Eastern Conference, you know, I like the way the Bucks match up against them. And call me crazy, I like the way the Raptors match up against them as well. The Raptors, I don't really think, have the offensive firepower to be able to outscore these guys. And the Bucks, you know, Kevin Durant essentially is going to be tasked with stopping Giannis. And I think that could tire him out over the course of a long series. And it could actually pay dividends. And then when you think about the other perimeter defenders that the Bucks have, you know, I think that they'll succeed at slowing James Harden and Kyrie Irving down. So, I mean, that I think has the potential of being a really, really good playoff series. And I'm already thinking along those lines, you know what I mean? Because I just think that the Nets are so, they have so much firepower and they're so top heavy that, you know, it's going to be really, really difficult for a team to knock them out early in the playoffs. I'm not sure that's going to happen. So I'm already thinking about how they're going to match up against Milwaukee, against Philly, and again, I guess against Toronto. And, you know, if I'm Steve Nash, if I'm Sean Marks, I look at what I got on my roster and I like my chances. You know, I feel really good about where I am. And I'm thinking about winning the Eastern Conference if I'm the Nets.
So just to give you the odds, the Nets to win the Eastern Conference plus 162.
Okay.
And
I mean,
hey. the Nets to win the championship is at 4-1.
What do you think about that? I mean, who in the East has better odds than that? Are they the highest odded, right? Are they the highest odded?
No, I might steal that. That might be a Mokeism, as I like to call my words that I make up, Marxisms. That could be a Mokeism. So the Nets plus 162, the Bucks plus 260, 76ers plus 550, Boston 7-1.
Wow. These Raptors, are to win the championship or the Eastern Conference?
Eastern Conference. The Raptors 30-1. Yeah. What are you wowing?
Very interesting.
Are you wowing the Bucks odds at plus 260? Is that what you're wowing?
And Philly, you said Philly was plus 550, right?
Plus 550. But isn't there talk that they're going to trade Ben Simmons? Isn't that about to happen?
I don't I know that he was reportedly mentioned in some of those James Harden rumors, but I don't know, man. I don't know what they're thinking down there in Philly, you know. But I will say that for the Nets to basically be one of the favorites based on the books, it's not really a surprise to me. You know, again, like you look at these guys, you look at their record when all three of them are playing, and at a certain point, you know, you just boil it down in a very simple level and say, okay, well, if these guys are cross-matched against a team like the Bucks, against a team like the Miami Heat, who's going to stop who? You know, who's going to be able to shut down Kevin Durant? The way that he's been playing, it doesn't really look like he's missed. There's not much rust, you know, like he might be shooting a few more jumpers than we last remember, but when he gets his opportunity to go to the basket and, you know, prove that he still has the athleticism and the bounce in his legs and the springs, you know, I think that he's passed all of those tests with flying colors. So as long as he's close to the player that we remember, and it seems like he is, I think with him and James Harden, or with him and Kevin Durant, him and Kyrie Irving, without the third player, they would have been very difficult to beat in the Eastern Conference. So once you add James Harden to the mix and you have, you know, that three-headed monster, it's going to be a tall task for anybody in the Eastern Conference to really mess with these guys.
And now that Kyrie and Harden, now that they've come to the understanding, the agreement that Harden is going to play the point and Kyrie is going to be the shooting guard, the two, you know, now they've got everything worked out. It's good that they had that conversation last night while they were on the court at Golden State. Moke, it's so great to hear your voice. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. God bless you and your family. Congratulations. We couldn't be more thrilled for you, my friend. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Anita. Same to you.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.